Good morning, everybody. How you doing this morning? Okay, some announcements. Thank you to all who attended and worked at the Men's Fat Tuesday Pancake Supper. $100 was collected for missions. That's really good. And, of course, a special thanks to Bill McHarris for providing his ragtime music. That was really good. I enjoyed that. That was good. Today at 1:30 to 5:30, they will be delivering. Remember, all the churches got together, did all this food for all these people. They're going to be delivering that today, the food drop. And if you want to participate, you can still call Mark or Lola. They're going to be sliding out here right before the service is over. But you can call Mark on his cell phone. It's in the bulletin, and he'll tell you where to be. He will. We are focusing on missions this month. We're going to help the Red Cross and Salvation Army. So if you want to make any donations, cash, or write the check. If you write a check, write it to Mayflower Church and just designate it Haiti Earthquake Relief. We also have a basket out in the fellowship hall for that purpose. I guess that, yes, Nori. Okay. Corned beef. Oh, I'm sorry. They didn't get put up here. The corned beef and cabbage supper is coming up March 20th. March 20th. And Dave is going to need 7 or 8 people to help with that. So you can start letting him know, and we can start preparing for that. It's going to be really good. Really good. The Gracewood Singers are...
Yes.
Are performing at that one, too.
And there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board for help.
So you should have just made that announcement. You should have. Okay. That's all for announcements. Let's enter into worship.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Please join me in the opening prayer. During this penitential season of Lent, we kneel at the cross, pondering the perfection of our Savior and the sin of our souls which led him to that place. We ask for forgiveness, and we ask that we might be strengthened through his word and sacrament to rise as new creatures, eager to do his will, eager to thank him with grateful hearts, and eager to speak the message of his love and sacrifice for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first reading today is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 11 through 20. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear and observe it?" No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and the length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. May the Lord lend his blessing to this reading.
We're small, but we're mighty. They're tired.
Especially me.
Yeah, always you. But that's it. We go from feast to famine up here in Sunday school. Speaking of feast, though, we get to the treats first.
And there might not be left for you.
So we're going to go downstairs. This month we're starting to study the creation in the Garden of Eden. And instead of going, we usually do Christmas and then Easter, we're going to start the beginning so they'll know what happened up to lead up to these things. So I'm going to take them downstairs and torture them for a while and then set them free.
He looks real tortured, don't he? Yeah. We feel sorry for him. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heaven-bound in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. What in the world's that got to do with an offering? Good question. Giving isn't just our money, although we do accept money here, we accept checks. I don't think we accept credit cards, but we could work that out. Okay. But giving is giving of ourselves to God for what He has for us now. I mean, the stories of old are fun, aren't they? Sit around the table, tell stories 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. See? But what's God doing now with you, through you, at this stage of life? So it's not just our money, but our time. See, our little cartoon there. Lord, help me to read my Bible more. Help me to be involved. Help me to be active with this relationship with you now at this stage of my life. Not just the way it's been. Way it is now, and then Paul says, looking toward the future, looking toward that prize. Because as long as we're here on planet Earth, God's not done with us yet. Thank God, He's not. So I invite you to worship God this morning with your giving and to pray about what you're doing actively with God at the present time.
Father, we do thank you for all the goodness that you show towards us. You take care of us. You help us. You bless us. You encourage us. You do so much for us. And so we just pray that you'll take this offering and multiply it, that every need of your people have joyfully given unto you is met, every need of the church is met. There's an abundance left over to spread your word throughout this community. In Jesus' name.
Amen. The Lenten devotionals are here. I'm sure we have a copy around somewhere, probably both foyers. Pretty good stuff in there. Pretty good. See, I got my marker in there. I'm doing mine. A couple of the authors are from our church. Yeah. Mark chapter 11. Yeah, Jim and I were chit-chatting this morning and saying, man, we've been talking about Jesus for a while. Well, we started out, you know, Christmas is his birth, and we're going to end up with him in the tomb and risen from the dead. So it has been a good journey, and we're looking at this since the first Sunday of Lent. And we're actually going to look at some of the things that happened between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. That's what we're going to look at for Lent this year. We don't get to talk about these different things a whole bunch. But that's where we're looking at today. So this is the day after what we call Palm Sunday. So I'm starting in Mark 11, chapter 12. On that day, when they had left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. Let's slide down to verse 20. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. And if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions." I like this story. I mean, why would I preach on a story I didn't like, right? I do have control over that. I don't have control over a lot of things, but I do have control over that.
Well, to some degree. So, yeah, last week of your life, I went by a church sign the other day. Said, "What would you do if you knew you're going to die in 30 days? That's an interesting thought. How much money do I have? Anyway, say, what would we do? Sometimes when we're looking death in the face, which is a good experience for us. It really is. That's why it's good to go to funerals. Yeah, weddings are more fun. Funerals are more meaningful. Because we got to face the fact that one of these days, we're going to be there. Yeah, I'm the oldest living Martin male. That's just scary. That means I'm next. You know, that's what it means. Okay. See, I mean, you used to be that generation down here where you had several generations and you went to funerals at 6 years old, you don't really know what they meant. See, and then after a while, the generation above you is all dying off. You go to their funerals, aunts, uncles, what, see. But I'm at the point where I'm next. I'm hoping it's going to be a really long time from now. That's what I'm hoping. I hope I got my grandpa's genes. He lived to be 97. Got sick and died. Yep, that's the way to do it right there. That's the way to do it. And Shirley was telling me, 90-some years old, was fine, got sick, they're burying her. That's the way to do it. No, none of this kidding around stuff. Yeah. Death. So if you're going to be alive for a few more days, and you want to pass on information to the people you care about the most, what kind of information do you pass on to them? Well, I didn't pass on important things. Things are important to me, at least. You don't pass on just, "Oh, by the way, here's some trivial information." I think that's what Jesus did in these next few chapters. Before he is crucified, he passed on vital information to his disciples. You guys need to know this, so we're going to rehearse this again. Well, us human beings, we like seeing things, right? Today, again this week, my wife emails me and said, "You didn't answer the question that I said at the end of my email, are you skimming your emails again?" I said, "Dear, it did not have pictures in it." You know, that's what I do. I said, "If I have pictures, I just skim it." "Well, don't skim your wife's emails because that will hurt her feelings." So, I am attempting not to skim hers. I will skim yours, but I won't skim hers. Okay? Okay, so if you send me an email, you might have to say, right, the second one saying, did you actually read my email? There was something important in it. Okay. Yeah, I actually tried to read them. I just skimmed them. Pictures. Jesus is good at pictures. So here's a thought I want to leave you guys. I'm going to be gone in a few days. Watch this. Walks up to a fig tree, which was in leaf, by the way, early. Not the time for figs. Not the time for it to be in leaf either. So if there's leaves on a fig tree, there's a chance that we got fruit on it. And so he walks up, no fruit, says to it, I don't know how environmentalists take this, says to it, you'll never bear fruit again. Walks away. His disciples thought, what in the world is that? The next day they're walking by the fig tree, Peter sees it, and says, wow, the fig tree's dead! Well, this should help us with a few things. How many people have been praying about things that haven't happened right, I mean, instantly? Like within 30 seconds. 30 seconds isn't too long for me. I like 30 seconds. Okay? Every now and then in my life, I thought, I should pray about that. And it happens before I ever get a chance to pray about it. Now, why I don't pray about it when I think about that, I don't know. Yes, ma'am?
God helps me find the
keys. He helps you find the keys? I believe that. I believe it. You guys don't see some of those pages that they play, and your husband, really. He was playing pages that were more black than white.
No, I mean the car keys.
Oh, the car keys. Oh. Well, I was thinking those keys, because you guys got all these notes to sing. You do an amazing job. You do. We help you find car keys. That's important if you're going to drive. Found them. See? Sometimes prayers like that. Just 30 seconds, thank you, Jesus. This is the way it's supposed to be. Other times, it's not like that because the tree died from the roots up. Many, many, many times, God is doing things behind the scenes. We don't see what He's doing. We pray, doesn't look like anything happens. We pray, doesn't look like anything happens. That doesn't mean God's not working. That simply means God's doing things behind the scenes, and obviously it's not our business what He's doing, or He would tell us. Yeah, but it's my prayer. Still none of your business. You pray, you do your part, you pray, God will work out all the details. He's really good at His part. He really is. And so Peter says, wow, the tree died. Jesus says, have faith in God. Don't you just find that, you know? Die faith. I just thought that was kind of cool. What does faith got to do with dying? Well, if you're going to die, you better die in faith. That's one thing. Two, here is a picture for us that skim our emails. Here's a picture to look at. Have faith in God. What does that mean? Well, he says, truly I say to you. Whenever he says truly I say to you, you really ought to pay attention. I mean, everything he said is true, but then sometimes he said, truly I say to you. Pay attention. This is important. Whoever's do I have here this morning? What are the rest of you? I don't know. Okay. Whoever's had aliens, evidently. Whoever. I mean, aliens from other planets. Whoever says to this mountain, they're standing on a mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Notice, faith, have faith in God, faith says. Faith says. Jesus walked up to the fig tree and said, faith says. My neighbor's car broke. Now, we have the shared driveway, shared garage. And he's got his car on his side. He's worked on it 2-3 days. And he's quite a mechanic, and he can't get that thing running. He just drove it home from work, parked it, and it died. Him and his wife both work different cities, not in Charlotte. And so they, for a week, were commuting with one vehicle. And I watched him work on it. I went out and talked to him a little bit. And then one morning, after a couple days, went by and thought, well, this is ridiculous. So I took the dogs out. They were gone to work. I just walked over to the car, laid hands on it, and said to it. See, and that sounds really funny, don't it? But now if you walk out of here today and your car's not running, won't you be saying something to it? Huh? See? See, as long as it didn't, if I'm out there in the parking lot cursing my car, everybody says, yeah, dog, that's right, you shouldn't have bought one of them anyway. Okay. But if you go out and you start talking nice to it, they look at you like, excuse me? You're saying God bless a car? Started that night. Started that night. I said to Bert, his name's Bert, I said, well, what'd you do? What was the problem? He said, well, I don't really know. He said, I came out and filled with it and started. Thank you, Jesus. Faith says. So when you're praying, he goes on to say, when you're praying, all things for which you ask and pray, believe that you have received them. See, faith sees it already done. Faith sees it done. Hope, which is a basis for faith, hopes. Well, we'll pray about it and see what happens. Maybe God will say. But when we cross over from hope to faith, faith sees it already done. Well, we've been praying about that. Yeah, God's going to do something about that. Say, well, how do you know? Well, I just know because he said, whoever, I happen to be a whoever, whoever prays and believes, God does it. Well, yeah, but it hasn't happened yet. Ah, but the fig tree died from the roots up. Yeah. So if I don't see it the next morning, it's no big thing. We have an afternoon coming. Might see it in the afternoon. Don't see it in the afternoon. That's okay. Evening's coming. Tomorrow morning's coming. Faith sees it already done. That's what faith does. Faith talks. Faith sees. Not what we're looking at here, because you get real discouraged what you're looking at in the physical realm. I prayed, nothing happened. No, you prayed, something happened. You just can't see it yet. See, sometimes on our prayer list, when we're praying for things, we get testimony back really quick. This happened. Other times, over a period of time, things happen. Some things haven't happened yet. We're going to keep praying until they do. Pray, believe God. It's His job. It's not our job. His job to bring it to pass. See, we can't do this. The reason we're praying about it is because we can't do it. If I could do it, I wouldn't pray about it. I'd just go do it. But we're praying for God's will to be done. And not God's will to be done in your timetable. Your timetable actually has nothing to do with God's will. It really doesn't. God's will, our job is to have faith. Pray, have faith. Okay? Neighbor's having trouble with his car, go lay hands on it, pray for it. You do pray for your neighbors, don't you? Well, you might want to add that to your prayer list. You might be the only connection they have with God. Yeah. And the ordinary ones you ought to put on top of the list. Yeah. Dear God, please bless him. Please. I need it. Please bless him. So, yeah. So I prayed. I talked to it. Nothing happens. You know, sometimes after a while, when we got to stop and check, we said, okay, we're praying. This is God's will. It's a blessing. It's not a curse. Something's not right. What's not right? What's not right? I have faith. And where am I? I lost my place. Whenever you stand praying, which I find is interesting, how long can you stand praying? Ruth, how long can you stand praying? A few minutes. Hey? Yeah, how long can you stand praying? Well, when I was 25, I could stand longer than, well, I didn't do much praying at 25, but actually I did, like 25. Okay. You can't stand forever, right? See? So this is not a forever thing. This is when you stand praying, forgive. When am I supposed to forgive? When they come crawling back over broken glass on hands and knees, begging, confessing how they have wronged me, begging for my forgiveness. Okay. After I make sure they crawl over all the glass, I don't want to forgive them halfway through. No, Jesus said, it's in red. Jesus said, if you have anything against anyone, I will not ask for a show of hands on this. If you have anything against anyone, forgive. See, faith, we take sections because I have a few minutes on Sunday morning to talk about. We can't talk about the whole picture. You know, over time we can talk about the whole picture. Faith is not an entity all by itself. You can have faith, but if you're living in unforgiveness, it cancels your faith. If you're living in disobedience, it cancels your faith. If you're not walking in love, it cancels your faith. These things are all connected. And so sometimes we need to check and say, okay, my faith's doing good. How's my love life doing? Well, it's doing good except for so-and-so and so-and-so. Because I'm holding the grudge against them, but they really deserve it. And they probably do deserve it. I mean, would you hold a grudge against somebody that didn't deserve it? That'd be mean. Yeah, they probably do deserve it. But if you're not walking in love, forgiveness is part of love, just like it says in Peter, men, treat your wives appropriately so that your prayers will not be hindered. So there's all these connections through the Scriptures. Forgive. If you have anything against anyone, forgive. Forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for you. Unforgiveness harms your relationship with people, harms your relationship with God, stops the blessings of God from flowing. Doesn't necessarily do anything for the person, but it cleans us up. It cleans us up. Because he goes on to say, if you don't forgive, then your Father who's in heaven won't forgive your transgressions. And I don't know about you. I mean, you might be perfect. I don't know. But I need forgiveness. I've not always been as perfect and as sweet and wonderful as you see me today. And my wife says, I have a ways to go yet. I'm not there yet. So she keeps telling me. She says, I'm making good progress. Okay, but not there yet. Got room for improvement. So I need God forgiving me. I cannot afford not to forgive other people. And after all, they're his kids. They're not yours. You aren't responsible for them. That's between them and God. You forgive. You let it go. Even if it's just teeny-weeny little stuff, let it go. Forgive. Give it to God. Then see how your faith works. Faith works a lot better when there's nothing clogging up the channel between us and God. Works a lot better. And so Jesus gave us this picture. Have faith in God. What's that mean? Take a look at the wilted fig tree. Have faith in God. Keep the faith. And if we'll do that, we'll be okay with God. Forgive, use faith. And in Michigan, we should know about using faith. That's about the only thing that's keeping our economy going. Although, we got new jobs popping up. You see that? I saw that. Big thing at MSU. Create some jobs. And GM's actually going to put some people back to work. When was the last time we heard that? Had to bring people up from Tennessee to do it. But they brought some up. They're going to put some others back to work. So there's hope. There's hope. Have faith in God. There's hope. Joys and concerns.
Okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You are so good, all these joys, and it would have been more and more and more. Of course, we had the time, but we're just so thankful for all that you do. You take such good care of us. You're always looking out for us. You think about us far more than we think about you. You're just so good to us. Thank you very much. We lift these prayer requests to you, the ones that are voiced, the ones in our heart, the ones in our prayer box, that you would intercede and bring your perfect will to pass in the lives of these people. Touch, heal, encourage, comfort, strengthen, give endurance to whatever they need, that you can be glorified in them and through them and others around them. Thank you for loving us and taking care of us and wanting this relationship with us. Thank you for teaching us how to communicate with you through prayer, as our model prayer shows us. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn.